Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope you're all enjoying the Northern Lights. I have not seen them yet, but a lot of my friends have around here, and it's beautiful. I've seen pictures. It's amazing. I don't know if it's good or not. I know it sparked a huge solar storm, which is a whole other different topic. But anyway, we hope you guys are doing well, and you are tuned in to your weekly weird, wild, anything you can think of, and probably more renditions of stories from people that have just the wildest lives and the wildest things to talk about. I am one of your hosts, Barry Johnston. With me, as always, my co-pilot, my best hombre, the professor, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
I am well, thank you very much, and that is a horn of celebration. This is our, believe it or not, 300th regular episode.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, dude. It's it weekly, cranking them out every week. It's been fantastic. Yeah. This has been an incredible project, one of my favorite projects that I've worked on for sure. And it's, you know, benefits so greatly by having you here with me and, you know, carrying the load for sure, man.
Oh, this absolutely. Likewise, man. Yeah, it's been amazing. It really has been. We've had some I was just talking about this today with a friend of mine. When I look back on when we started and where we're at now and just all of the amazing stories, I remember in the beginning I was like, man, I hope we can get enough people to come on. And it has just been week after week of amazing stories.
Yes, indeed. All kinds of stories, you know, and that's what we really love about it is, of course, we started off really focused on the weird, the unusual, the stuff you don't normally tell people, which we still love and we still embrace. But we expanded into just great stories, just wonderful stories, because we quickly realized they're at the top. We say everybody's got at least one good story. And we quickly realized that everybody should get a chance, no matter what that story is about. Everybody deserves a chance to be here on the show and share their stories on the podcast. And of course, it's way too late to change the name, so we'll just keep it as going. And you know, it's weird to somebody, you know, but it's just everyday life to the storyteller.
Yeah.
And what an amazing, just a spectrum of guests that we've had. Amazing people, all of them. Fantastic people. So many new friends made, and so many old friends getting to know them better, and just lots of just wonderment and laughter.
Yes.
And just moments of awe and inspiration, and also, you know, terror and goosebumps galore. It's just been, man, it's been a wild ride. Yeah. It's been so much fun. And, you know, we can only thank you, Weirdsville, for all of the support and for listening and sharing the podcast and sharing your stories and just being part of this whole thing, this experiment, this pod. It's just been awesome.
It has been. It's been so just enriching. And we have met so many great people. We've become friends with everyone that we've ever had on here.
Yeah.
We make a connection with people. We have a conversation. And we always bring this up before we start the interviews about how, you know, we kind of like to let the conversation, you know, just wander and dictate where it's going to go naturally. And we get off into some really interesting subjects with people. And I'm always fascinated at how deeply people think about things and their angle on things. I know that there have certainly been times when I've changed my opinion about something. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have somebody that comes on with a story that is you've never heard before, or you know, maybe you've heard a story like that, but it's from, you know, off in the distance, but now it's sitting in front of you and you're like, wow, how'd you come through that as a human being? And oftentimes we find that people are out there, you know, helping others. It's just, it's wonderful, man. And yeah, we've really, I think we've created something that is, it's a lot of fun and it's a lot of just interesting talks and perspectives that I don't get on a daily basis in my regular life. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we have made friends with everybody that's been on if we hadn't known them already before and been friends before. And it's just been, that's the absolute joy of it. And speaking of joy and speaking of, you know, someone that we've known quite some time, our guest this week is, could really need no introduction, but I'm going to give it to him anyway. This week's special guest for our special 300th episode has been mentioned on this podcast before, has had their story shared on this podcast before, has had a great impact on both of our lives.
Yeah. It's my, yeah, and he, you know, I've literally known him since day one.
yeah, me too, honestly.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
So without further ado, this is Barry's dad, the legend himself, Kurt Johnston, the man, the myth, the legend. He is just one of the most colorful people I've ever met and ever known. He is one of the, he is just a story waiting to happen. Everything he does is just worthy of sharing those tales because he's got a million of them. And we were fortunate to have him sit down because he wanted to join us.
Yeah.
And we were fortunate to have him sit down and share some of those, some stories we've heard before, some new stuff. Just what a wonderful time. So I'm going to part from my traditional role of the introduction and hand it over to you, Barry, because, again, you know, you know this guy probably a little bit longer than just a few months longer than I have.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Adam, with us today, it's my absolute pleasure to bring on probably one of my most favoritest people in the entire world, my father, Kurt Johnston. Dad, what's your weird story?
Well, I've got all sorts of weird stuff. You know, when I was growing up in 1949, that's when I was born, in the Okarchi Hospital, and I am distinguished there because I'm the only baby that was born with 12 fingers.
Yes, yes. Yes, this is a fact.
And this has made me famous all over the world. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But anyway.
What did they do? How did they get rid of the extras?
Well, they tied some suturing string around them. They just rotted off.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
that's
anyway,
the same thing they do to sheep.
Yep,
and cattle, right, yeah. You know, when they're castrating them.
That's great.
But I got, but again, I was born Kingfisher, or Okarchi, and my dad and mom, when I was young, lived in Kingfisher, and they were Dad farmed, and he quit farming, and we moved to Enid. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say that the farm never left me, even as a kid. My dad, matter of fact, let me get some chickens, and I had quite a few chickens and pigeons right in the middle of Enid.
How many did you have?
Oh, I probably had 30 pigeons.
Oh, my God.
10 banty roosters.
Oh, my God. The neighbors loved you, huh?
Yeah, well, the pigeons got loose. I let them out. I thought they were homing pigeons.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dad came home from work, and he said, "What's wrong with my boat?" Walked over there, and it was covered with pigeon dung. And that's the end of that
deal. Oh, that's great. Yeah. And then you had dogs, right? How many dogs did you have at one time?
Oh, well, when I
was... Is this the same house, by the way?
No, it'd be a
different house. All right.
My mother didn't know what I was doing. You know, God love her. But I decided that I was a hunter. I'm just starting to hunt with bird dogs. So I go out to the pound, and I think we gave $1 apiece for them, and bought those things and made a makeshift pen on the side of our house, and I had 10 of those things in there.
10 dogs.
Yeah. Well, Dad comes home from a business trip. He said, "What the hell are you doing? You can't do this." So I had to get rid of them. And, then I had a pet raccoon that I had caught out hunting. And
how long did that last?
About a month. Mother made me get rid of it. So I was suffering from animal deprivation.
Right, yeah.
But you know, guys, growing up when I did, things were so much simpler.
Yeah.
You know, we had our parents taught us gentlemanly conduct, like Adam, mm-hmm. just like yours, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what I tried to do with Barry, and I'm not saying that all kids are bad now at all, but that's a lost art. It really is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you were sort of you're always an enterprising person. And you're always looking to press the boundaries a little bit, but one of the stories I love so much, and this is this tells a lot about you, is when you were in grade school and you would do the annual fox hunt where everyone would pay to try to catch you, right? They would chase you. How did that work? How old were you?
Well, it was in high school.
Oh, it was in high school. Okay, yeah, okay.
Senior year and. I learned in gym, I learned how to tumble. And man, I could skinny over an 8-foot fence like you can't believe. So I thought, well, let's put a deal out there. It's going to cost them $1 apiece to enter the race. And if I'm caught, you know, I don't get anything. Everybody gets their money back. So we started that, and kids from all over Enid, the east side, north, south, came to do that. There were probably 250 kids.
Oh, my God.
and another thing that they could do to me is just beat the soup out of me. But I never did, and they could have their choice of weapons, fists or tree branches or whatever. So anyway, I made it through that and got to collect some money.
Was that, when did you start pole vaulting? When was that?
I started in the... probably the 7th grade, because, you know, Dad was a grandfather, great grandfather, was a champion.
Yeah, he was a world class pole vaulter.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He did. He went on scholarship to OU, and what a beautiful man he was.
But he taught you how to pole vault. Uh-huh. And how did you do that back then?
Well, Dad dug a sand pit, or a pit, and we filled it with sand.
Okay.
Now, back then, we pole vaulted with bamboo poles.
Yeah, not flexible, right?
No.
Okay.
We'd go down to the carpet company, and Dad would pull those things out and eyeball them and say, oh, this is a good one.
That's safe. Yeah.
And then you'd cover them with electrical tape.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep from splintering.
Yeah.
Okay, and, okay.
And you jump over the bar and land on your feet?
Land on your feet.
How high were you going?
Well, I only, in high school with that pole, I only went 12 feet.
12 feet?
Jeebity.
That's pretty tall.
12'3". But I had guys that knew, friends that knew how to bend a pole.
Oh.
And I didn't have the speed to bend that pole.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did, for some reason, I did with the cane pole. And but I had some friends that went 14 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And landed on, this is no mat, just landed on their feet in some sand.
Well, by that time we were in high school, lad, and we had a regular foam rubber pit.
Okay, okay, that's good.
Right, right.
Wow.
But the neighbors got real tired of me. This is when we lived on Main Street. Got real tired of me. These animals loose, and, you know. I got into some trouble with that.
did the pole vault ever come into the fox hunt? Did you ever use those skills? Well, you're evading people.
Well, that's a good question. No, but I could, due to my tumbling abilities, I could jump and hit an 8-foot fence, a regular backyard fence, and I'd hit it with my chest on top of it,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd just flip over, and they stood there with. Well, they were holding their testicles, so they didn't get a chance. But
oh man!
So how long did it last? How long did you ever get caught, or did you?
No,
just,
never it, did. It lasted 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God!
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, they, this was a big deal.
So you weren't fast, but you were agile.
Yeah, I wasn't real fast, but I just,
you were kind of like on the move the whole time, I guess, yeah?
Oh yeah, and then if I stopped and rest, I'd get a drink out of somebody's faucet.
Oh, now when did you hang your gonads on the fence?
Oh, now that's something.
Yeah,
I was with Mark Cromwell. I was in the 7th or 8th grade. Mark had an old chicken coop behind his house, and I jumped off and hung myself on my you-know-whatty. And so I've got shorts on, and I have blood coming out, and I ran home. This is a true story. And Mom and Dad were having a dinner party, and I ran in there and I said, Dad, I hung my nuts on a stick. And then my mother goes, Curtis, that's scrotum.
She was very proper.
Oh, yeah.
You running into the house like that must have absolutely just like sent her through the roof.
Oh, it did. That's where Mom was. So off do we go. And Sister Florentia, I don't think Sister Florentia is alive right now. But there I got. She pulled my legs apart, naked as a jaybird, and sewed me up.
Oh, my God.
And that wouldn't be the last time that this happened. Yeah, he has an affinity for getting his package destroyed.
Yeah. Kicked,
yeah. When I was in high school, he got kicked by a heifer, I think, split his pants and also split his manhood.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't believe that I just witnessed that happen and that you live through that in a way. Like, I saw my life flash before my eyes. You remember the time that you stuck Wormer into yourself on accident, injected yourself with Wormer?
I certainly did. I was working cattle and wasn't watching what I was doing. And you have to put the Wormer close in their neck.
Yeah.
So anyway, I grabbed the calf by the ear, and it flung his head. And I warmed myself in the left hand.
Did you have diarrhea?
No. It about a week later, my hand froze up.
I also remember the time you shot pellets into your finger. Do you remember that? And you had to reverse them out of your skin. Do you remember that?
Oh.
You remember that?
Yeah, that was when I was bird hunting.
Well, you did something.
Yeah.
And it was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, it was.
You fell off a ladder when I was in middle school. You were cleaning a seed bin, and you fell off the ladder, and you smacked your head. You had seed embedded in your forehead.
Yes.
Knocked you out.
Yeah.
The guy that was helping him out was supposed to hold the ladder, but the phone rang. So he went to go answer the phone, and the ladder slipped out. And
well, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
I think I fired him. But, yeah, that was something. I've had, let's see, that would have been my fourth concussion.
Yeah.
My first one, I'll never forget, we were at Enid, we were playing football. We were playing Tulsa Rogers, and there was this, I was playing a linebacker, and here comes this kid that went on to OU. He was 5'10 and 2'10.
Oh,
much heavier than
wow.
And boy, I tell you, I smacked him, and I got up and went over to their huddle, put my hands on my knees like they do. So anyway,
did they pushed you out of the huddle?
Oh yeah,
yeah. You're like, you're supposed to be over there.
Yeah, and the coaches didn't help me out. Yeah.
I think a lot of us probably have some head trauma from football. I know I do.
Oh yeah,
I and back then the helmets. I mean, our helmets were a lot better than their helmets than Dad's helmets. I mean, Dad's helmets were just like it was basically just like here, put this on, you're safe now. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but
it was a step up from leather helmets,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Which is what I think my dad probably wore over there in Marshall. So.
Yeah, right. Yep. So okay, so let's go back to earlier days. So, when did you meet Mom?
I met her in well, I was a senior and she was a junior. I sat right behind her in geometry class, and guys, that I didn't understand anything about it. I was totally lost, and
I was terrible in geometry also.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, and plus the fact we were playing Midwest City in football that Friday. Report card came out on Tuesday, and if you get an F, you couldn't play the game.
Yeah.
And I got an F, and I never heard about it. I got to play, so it was hard. But anyway, after that, my second half of my senior year, I said, doggone, that's a hot little number right there. And she was and she is. just gorgeous. And so I took her out. I brought her home after the date, and I said, could I take you out again? She goes, no.
That, what a pisser that was. Well, okay, but so there's a part of this story too that's fantastic, which is Dad showed up to my mom's house and he had a mattress in the back of his truck.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it was a, what do you call it? It was a Chevy panel truck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That I thought that I needed. I traded my 1947 Plymouth in, and I bought this cabin truck. And there, when I bought it, it had a bed in the back and a mattress. And so I pull up in front of Sue's. My father-in-law, B, said, well, Curtis, what do you got there? And he's coming out to check it out. And I'm surprised he didn't say, you're not taking my daughter anywhere in that. Well, we open up the back, and here's this bed. And I said, Mr. Parker, that's not what you think it is. It came with the truck.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, but Mom tried to fight him off for a while, and then she finally sort of gave in, and then that was, I mean, how many years you've been married, Dad? 55 years. Amazing. She's a saint.
She's still my darling. We're exact opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it works.
I can't imagine two
of you. My Aunt Cindy, my dad's sister, is like my dad, but the female version of my dad, yeah. And it's quite. When we get together as a family, it's quite interesting. It's a fun time. So talk about cars, Dad. So one of the infamous pieces of legendary in our family is the time that my dad got arrested for selling a vehicle to a guy that wouldn't pay you, right, Dad? So what happened there?
Well. It was the summer of my freshman year in college. Dad told me, you're not taking a car to college. You need to be studying and out and out on that. Well, okay. Well, this is a 47 Plymouth. It wouldn't go 10 miles an hour. But anyway, you're going to have to sell it. So I put an ad in the paper, and this guy says... that he wanted to buy it. His name was Dan Sharp, a big old boy. And Dan was, he was probably 6'4" or 5".
Wow.
But somewhat blubbery, you know. I said, well, I'll just, Dan, if you want it, trusting soul, if you want it, you can have it, pay me when you get paid. Okay. Well, he didn't pay me. So I went over to his house. I said, Dan, you didn't pay me. Well, what's the deal here? And he steps out on the porch and he goes, I'm not paying you, you SOB. And man, I smacked him right in the jaw. And he goes, he rolled off the porch. And he gets up and starts running, and I tackled him and popped him again. Well, here comes 2 or 3 days later. I didn't get my money, of course. I got my car. 2 or 3 days later, here come the police. And this policeman was real close to the football and athletics at Dean High, and he said, Kurt, I've got to arrest you for assault and battery. And I said, well, I didn't tell you, but let me back up. When I smacked him, his mother and his sister, and they were very large people, chased after me and started beating me, one with a mop and the other with a broom. And so, anyway, we go to court, and I had a friend whose daddy was an attorney, and he told me what to say, and I got off. But
We have a wonderful photo of this encounter when he took his mugshot. And so he had a friend that worked in the county clerk's office for years. And one day she'd gone back through the files and found the mugshot and brought it to him. And now it's framed. It's great. He's got a shit-eating grin on his face. Like he's proud of it, man. It's so great. It's hilarious. And I remember my kids growing up, they thought it was so funny that Bappa got arrested, man.
We're going to have to take a picture of that and send it to me. So
absolutely.
Absolutely. Kurt, I remember a story one time about when you were in a phone booth and you narrowly escaped death from a phone booth.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I was in college and... you know, you could go to Kansas at age 18 and drink beer.
Okay.
So we got up there, and I called. I'd had a few beers. I said, well, I'm going to go call Sue. So I was out in the phone booth outside, and this idiot ran over the damn phone booth. and knocked me out of it. And then he was scared, so he ran off. But
was he drunk or something, or what was going on with that?
I had words with him in the bar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's really what happened.
Yeah, it wasn't my
fault. Okay.
Yeah, of course. there's another great story about Papa, my grandfather, my dad's dad. He goes out for a jog, right? He's jogging, and he gets egged by some kids in a car.
Okay.
And he is hot, and he comes back home, and he comes to the front door, and he is absolutely pissed. And my dad was there. Who else was there with you, Dad?
Well, he was jogging with my little brother, Buck.
And okay.
When he threw the eggs, I said, Dad, where'd they hit you? And he said, on the end of the thing. so he said, come on, you're going to go with me. So we found that car.
Yeah, at like a drive-in or something?
At a drive-in.
Yeah.
And it only had one tail light.
Uh-huh. He remembered.
Dad gets out of the car and he goes to that young man and says, put your brake lights on. And we had stopped and had gotten a dozen raw eggs.
Who does that?
We smeared that all over the interior of that car.
They took the eggs and just started smashing them on the ceiling of the car, all in the car. My dad and my grandfather. Was Buck there with you? Was Uncle Buck was there too?
Buckshot was too small.
Okay.
The dad walked up there, and during it, he said, son, you don't throw stuff at older men, especially when you hit me in the thing.
Oh, that's so great. Come on. Now, one of the earliest memories I have, okay, growing up with my dad is... fishing. My dad is a fisherman. He loves to fish. He loves to hunt. But one of the things that we would do as a kid, he would always take me out fishing. Mm-hmm. And we'd go out early in the morning, and we're down at Lake Texoma, and we're out there, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. It is early. And we come out onto the boat. We had a little cove where my grandparents used to have a place. So we go out to the cove. We get in the boat. My dad goes to put the motor down, and he ends up chopping the tip of his finger off. And what proceeded from that moment, Dad?
if you've ever dehorned cattle, I know you've been around it, both of you. the blood veins don't stop. They just keep pulsing. Yeah, they keep pulsing, and so I had that, Barry, I think you may have driven up.
I did. I was 5 years old, Adam.
Oh, God. And I didn't realize you were that young.
Yeah, I was five, and he has my back to me when he's putting the motor down, and I hear him say something like shit or something. I knew that when my dad cursed, it was bad.
Yeah.
And all I remember is he raised up and he's holding his finger like this with his other hand, and it is all over the place. And he grabs a flannel shirt. I think he may have been wearing the flannel shirt, took it off, wrapped it around his hand, and within a minute that thing was soaked.
Oh my gosh.
And he couldn't drive. And so he stuck me on his lap. And he put the thing in drive, the truck in drive, and I drove up the cove path up to the trailer where we were staying, and we go wake up my mom, Brooke and Jamie, I think were there. We all go to Medill, right?
Yeah.
Small little hospital there.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? The nurse on staff was an old Marine guy.
With a flat top haircut.
Oh, my God.
And he took Dad into the room, and I don't know if... Did he try to numb your finger first?
Well, no, he didn't.
Yeah?
He took a damn...
A file, dude.
Oh, to his bone.
Started working on it.
And Dad was screaming. I've never heard you make that sound before. God. It was terrifying. He had to shave the bone down enough so they could grab the skin on both sides and sew it together.
Oh,
but the bone was in the way, man. Ugh.
What a wonderful experience.
But that turned into the infamous nub, and that became a weapon. That was his weapon, man. And
When Barry was little, I'd thump him on the head with the stuff.
Or stick it in my chest. He'd stick that thing in my chest, man.
Yeah.
But that's burned into my memory like it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
That was... And then I got really sick after that. I remember I got some sort of stomach thing where I was just throwing. I threw up all over the place, man.
Barry, speaking of being really sick and burning, why don't you tell everybody the story about when you ate your dad's special candy?
Oh, yeah.
When you were a little kid there.
I was younger than five.
Yeah.
I remember I used to be able to climb out of my crib. I don't know if you remember, but I used to be able to climb out of my crib, and I would make my way down the hallway, and my dad chewed tobacco. Like, we call it chewing, but it's skull. It's dip.
Yeah,
you know, some people call it different stuff, but it's dip. And it, you know, and he always did it, and it was like, it looked enjoying, you know? Mm-hmm, and so I thought, well, that
looks... And it smells kind of nice, too,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah. So somehow I made it. He had a little desk, like where our dining room was, where he would put his skull. And I somehow got up onto the cabinet and I grabbed the skull can, opened it up, and took probably the biggest bite that I could out of it. And I just remember Mom coming in. I was probably screaming or something. She came in and she's holding me over the sink, washing my mouth out. Skull going everywhere. do you remember that, Dad, at all?
I do.
Yeah.
I
do. Yeah.
That just very much proving that you are your father's son.
That is so true.
But you know what, Barry? One of the most memorable times is you were, I'm going to say about five, maybe six, is that we'd go out and check cattle. And you would stand up beside me with your hand on my shoulder. And I will never get over that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember taking sips out of your beer. I remember this is how far this goes back before pollution days, right? Of like when everybody would just throw their fucking trash out their windows.
Yeah.
You know, And back in the pop top days, where like the top of the can would lift off, you know,
yeah,
it would
with come, the ring and yeah,
you just
the
flick, tab. You flick that out the window, and then when you're done with the beer, you just crush it up and you throw it out the window. You know, I remember that so well.
Also, you're driving, drinking a pop top beer.
Yeah, I know. That was a different time.
Oh yeah,
you used to let us drive all the time.
Oh,
I would drive. I showed up to eighth grade math class with Mr. Fisher, right? Mr. Fisher.
Yep.
And he goes, I saw you driving in town the other day. And I said, I know. And he goes, I'm going to tell your dad. I go, he's the one that sent me to go get stuff for him. You know, I mean, that was just a thing. I mean, I guess everybody drove back then. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, look, I know that when we were kids, if you lived like on the country,
yeah,
you could get your license at 14,
right?
I think something like that. But yeah, I mean, it was also, you know, it's farming town. Like I learned to drive after my accident when I was 2, when I drove the car into the house across the street. After that, Dad taught us how to drive. Well, he taught us how to drive on ice, snow first, because when we were little, you know, in case we were out with him when he was checking the cattle and you know, breaking the ice or anything like that. But then we learned how to drive a tractor as well.
Yeah.
And we just, that was one of those things, you know, it's a farming town. Sometimes, you know, your parents are, you know, can't take you somewhere, and if you can't, you're deemed old enough, mature enough to drive, then, there you go.
Was it the station wagon that you crashed?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I remember that station wagon so well.
Oh yeah. Well, we had it until, about 7th grade, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, we had it was that legendary gold hunter green with specs and the wood paneling.
Yep.
That thing went everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you remember? We talked Dad on the podcast before about our 4th of July parties.
Oh.
Out at the house.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time that you lit your pants on fire with a Roman candle?
Yeah.
He lit the Roman candle backwards, you know, because everybody thinks you light the opposite end and it shoots out, but you actually light the end that it comes out. And
like rockets.
Yeah,
you light the fire in where it shoots up.
Right,
but the Roman candles where you light the candle at the end, and that's where it shoots out, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember this too, because I said, Kurt, I think you're lighting the wrong end.
I remember. Yeah.
And Kurt's like, nah. And then you're sitting there by.
So great.
He's holding it up in his hand, looking at the sky. We're all waiting to enjoy this. All of it. You know, there's so many, there's like 3 or 4 families there. There's probably about 20, 30 people.
Yeah.
They're out there on the front lawn getting ready to display the grandeur of the flaming
Clark
balls.
Clark Griswold's moment, man.
Candle.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes, and then we hear it go, foop. And you look at the end because you heard it,
but it didn't do anything.
Yeah. And it went thump, thump twice again. And that's when you turn and you realize it was shooting out.
Yeah.
Down on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It burned a hole in your slacks, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to say before we close here.
We got a couple more things to talk about.
Okay,
so, keep going.
No, I was going to say that for the listening audience, I'm with one of the greatest young men I've ever been with. Adam's dad was one of my dearest and closest friends, and he was what you call a true man. No responsibilities did he shuck, and he made this young man what he is today. And your dad was pure. That's all there is to it.
And I appreciate that, yeah. Kurt.
I remember when your dad would come over and have coffee with my mom.
Yeah.
And their conversations would be about laundry.
Uh-huh.
And like just, you know, like stuff that you have to do. And
cooking.
Yeah.
And like I took a lot of my pleasure in that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like your dad was always plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
He was always when we played soccer, it seemed like every Saturday morning we had donuts. Every Saturday morning. Yeah. I think we had donuts anyway every Saturday morning, right?
Pretty much every Saturday morning we would get donuts Daylight Donuts. And they were chocolate Long Johns, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I'm still a chocolate Long John guy. Yep. Love it.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep. I do too, man. That's my go-to. If I'm going to have a donut, that's my go-to.
Yeah.
And not everybody does it right, but, you know, you get one that does it right, that's a joy. That's a pleasure of life right there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have I want to bring this up because this is a topic that we talk about quite a bit, which is UFOs, okay? And I told my UFO story on here, and I told everyone that I had spoken to my dad about that. We hadn't spoken since we saw it. So we're talking like 30-some years we haven't talked about this. What do you remember from that night?
You and I were coming back from something. I don't and heading north of town where we live.
Yeah.
And I saw this very bright light that did not move, way up in the sky, of course. And so I think Barry and I pulled over.
We started going very, very, very slow, and we finally did stop.
Yeah.
And we rolled the windows down. And it was hovering above us, and it wasn't that high above us by the time we stopped, and it just sat there and rolled the windows down, totally silent. We sat there for a little while. Then you remember we start driving back to the house. And the thing starts just crawling. And it was crawling over the creek, the trees over the creek. And then you went in and you called the police office to see if there were anything on the radar that they could pick up on. And they said there was nothing. And then not long after that, it just went away.
Yeah.
And I never told anybody. Yeah. And I don't think we even talked about it really. But, you know, we start having all these UFO weird things start coming up on the news and stuff. And I'm like, dude, we saw something. I think we saw something. And so did Adam. Adam also saw something out by Weatherford.
Yep.
Yeah. Tell him about your story.
Well, my story is really unusual because do you know Mark Ray, who lives there in Enid? Mark was a friend of mine, and he was a couple of years, I think he was Brooke's age. And I was talking to him one day, and when I was there, he was telling me about how I told him I was going to school at Southwestern, and he's like, "Oh, wow." He's like, "Yeah, man, I've got this story about Southwestern." And he starts telling me this story about how on one weekend night, he and some buddies got bored because they were living in the dorms and there was nothing to do in Weatherford because everybody would go home on the weekends, but they were staying there. And so they decided to go drive around the country, you know, like you do, because there's nothing else to do except, you know, drive. And so they got into a car and they were driving around and they pull over to this like little lease road and they get out and they're just, you know, chilling, hanging out. And they look up into the sky and they see this triangle of lights, three points of light coming in, and it flies, and it's flying kind of slow, but it comes in and it comes over on top of where they are. And they're all kind of like, "What is this?" Because it's not making a sound. And so one of them picks up a rock and he throws it at it. And however close this thing was, it was close enough where they could hear that rock loudly clang off of that thing, whatever it was. Yeah. And then they all freak out. They pile into the car and then they take off and they're driving. They're all like, you know, like, oh, you know, and then they finally calm down a little bit, and they're listening to the radio, and in the middle of the song, it changes from one song to another. And they're like, well, that's kind of weird. But, you know, I guess sometimes that could happen. And then the DJ comes on and he says it's like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And they're like, wait, what? And so they all look at their clocks and they had lost like 2 hours of time just somewhere. It was 2 hours gone. So when I was a freshman, that was probably, I want to say that was probably around like 1987. So I was or maybe like 89, somewhere around there, late 80s, early 90s. One weekend that I was staying, I stayed in Weatherford because I didn't, you know, I wasn't going home to Kingfisher or anything. And Jeff Hubbard was there with me. We decided to stay the weekend and we were driving around out in the country with this kid in our dorm that we had met. We called him Big Bird because he sounded like Big Bird from Sesame Street. And so we were driving around and we pulled over onto this lease road. And that, you know, this the whole thing reminded me of the story that Mark told. And so I'm telling these guys the story that I've been heard, you know, probably a couple of weeks or a month before. And as we're talking, I shit you not, we see the exact same triangle light formation thing in the sky, and it's flying and it's coming towards us, and we hear a sound with it, but the thing, whatever it is, it flies in a straight line towards from like the west to east, kind of southeast, and but the sound trails off into a whole other direction as it passed over us. And we also just freaked out because this weird thing that just happened to my friend. And then exactly as it happened again.
Wild.
So we got to the car and we were driving back to the dorm and being very, very, you know, meticulous about what time it was to make sure that we didn't also lose some weird time or something like that.
And then we had Mark to come on and talk about you telling him that you saw the same thing, which is freaking awesome.
Yeah. That was, one of our early episodes. That was really cool. Cause he didn't know. I'd never told Mark about that. And then, I'd also seen a couple other weird acting lights in the sky. Because one time, again, I just need to do this out in public and start telling people these stories out in public, because that's when it happens. I got to throw this in. I was driving back from Kingfisher back to Weatherford. It was probably that same year, or maybe just after like Christmas that same year. And I was driving back to Weatherford, and I was going down Route 66 because it was kind of fun. Instead of going down 40, take Route 66. And I'm listening to a tape that I'd made. I recorded some songs, put it on a tape, and the song started off as like one, two, you know, notes, and then it was like silence. And I was really confused, and I kind of didn't know where I was, a little disorientated. And then I heard the last two notes of the song, and I was like, huh, okay, maybe what that was weird. Maybe I taped it wrong. So I rewound the tape, but the whole song, which is about a 6-minute song, was there. And damn. So I had this weird, you know, missing time kind of experience, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So I took this event and coupled it with the other thing that had happened with the triangle in the sky. And I thought I was going to kind of maybe prank my friends a little bit and tell them that I thought that I had been abducted by aliens. And so I started telling people like, oh, you know, I don't know, but maybe this. And so I put these two stories together and I had this weird like sore in my ear around the same time. And so I was trying to, you know, convince my friends that I was convinced I had been abducted by aliens. But the more I told the story, the more I started kind of like, well, maybe this really did happen. And then one time it was like the summer after that year, or maybe it was a year later, but I was hanging out with Dirk Hartisman. We were just west of town. And he's like, you know, again, because it's like summer and there's nothing to do. And, you know, because nobody's really home. But we're there. So we're just hanging out outside of town. And he's like, tell me the story, the alien ear story, because that's what it became known as. Because he hadn't heard it, but everybody else had heard it. So I'm telling him the story, and we're looking south towards Okarchee in Oklahoma City, and we see these three lights. They're just bright white lights in the sky coming in from different directions, and they're going at different speeds, and then they all kind of come together, and they kind of like hold a pattern for just a second, and then one of them just whips off you know, just a large arc turn and goes east. And another one just takes a sharp angle and goes west. And the other one just disappears altogether. We don't know what it was. And of course, Dirk's freaking out because he's like, oh my God, they're coming to get us. They're coming to get us. I'm like, just like, man, don't worry. If they were going to come and get us, we wouldn't have even seen them. So-
right. You know, Adam, I have an opinion, and I think that some of these things that are seen are demonic apparitions. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to prove that, but I've often thought that, you know, why not?
Yeah,
it's wild stuff.
Well, we've definitely heard other people with similar opinions about how they think that these things could be demons. Also, they could be angels.
That's true.
You know,
that's
because true. Like the way that things, angels in the Old Testament are described are very strange and. Not humanoid, and you know they have these strange like wheels of fire burning with, you know, and like how they traveled, or you know, so it might just be that's the way that we way back when we understood it to be angels. They could have been aliens, or they could have been the aliens could be angels or whatever they are.
I think the big deal there is, to me, is also I've seen some of these, like when Barry and I saw that thing on Highway 81, there was no fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like if some of the stuff that was demonic would scare the heck out of
them. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think if they have that kind of technology, they would run the world anyway, you know, and there's not much we could do about it, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, crazy stuff. I'm glad we talked about that because that's, you know, it's an interesting topic.
Yeah.
So, okay, just a couple things real quick. Okay. Remember the time that you loaned your truck to the guy? We're not going to say who it was, but.
Well, he was in, yeah. This kid was going, and his wife were going to church with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'd know who they were, Ed. But, anyway, tells me after church, can I borrow your pickup? I've got to run to Oklahoma City. And I said, well, sure. And so he does. And the police call me in Kingfisher late that afternoon and said, Kurt, your pickup's out here. And you need to come look at it. Somebody has chipped the steering encasement away. Okay, so I go out there and there's this my pickup. It looked like a skeleton, Adam. They chipped off all the plastic around my steering
column. They stuck the house key or a different key into the steering column to start the truck. Gosh. It was not the truck key. And so rather than, like, calling someone that was a locksmith or somebody that could, you know, get the ignition switch out or something, he took a chisel and chiseled the entire steering column out.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Into pieces.
Yeah. So anyway, he worked. Oh gosh, what was his name? Anyway, he worked at one of the automobile dealers there, and he went to our church for a little while, and he was the detail man. And so anyway, I go in there and I look at the column, and I called him. I said, "Well, I don't have a steering column. What did you do with this?" And he goes, "Oh, I couldn't get it started, and I thought maybe if I, you know, chip that out." And I said, "Well, I'm very disappointed in you." Oh, and he goes, and he says to me, he had a speech impediment, mm-hmm. and he says to me, "I fuck up."
Oh man. Now, did you have to buy a new truck after that? Do you remember?
No, I took it out to Johnson's. It was a Dodge.
Oh, yeah.
I took it out to Johnson's, and Sonny Johnson got everybody in the shop to come look at this, and they laughed their butts off.
What about the treadmill incident of Christmas? So they're... My mom and dad, we used to go shopping for Christmas, you know, and they go to a department, you know, like a sporting goods department store, and he decides that he's going to get on the treadmill, because treadmills were becoming the new thing.
Right.
You remember that?
Well, they were, yeah, and little did I know that, oh, I got on it, I started walking, then I turned it up, and it got much faster. Then I really turned it up, and that thing flew me off the back end of that, back into the bicycle.
You can imagine my mom.
Barry's mother just died.
That's so great.
Oh.
Then there's the infamous, remember when you went to go sign some papers at the realtor's office? You guys get there, and you're sitting there in your seat, and you're getting ready to sign these papers, and you look down, and you tell Mom, "I'm wearing my underwear. I never put on any shorts."
Well, yeah, it was on Van Buren, and Sue tells me, "Now we need to go and sign these papers real quick," and I never even thought about it, and about putting shorts on, and the interesting thing is Mom didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
That's unusual. That's so crazy. So I go in there and I walk in, and they seat me at a table. We got these folks talking to us and all that, and I just happened to look down, and I had a pair of white underwear. And I told the girl that was talking to us, and I said, "Now, Don't you look at me when I get out and walk out. I'm in my underwear." So anyway,
it's so classic. And not a lot of people probably out there know that my dad also was an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah.
And did that for a long time. And didn't you split your pants in your Elvis costume?
Oh, yeah. I kind of went down in a crouching position, and first thing I know, all my sequins are hanging out, you know.
Felt a little breezy.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what? This is probably one of my favorite stories that comes to mind, okay? But somehow, some guy started calling my dad, and on the phone, okay? And rather than tell the guy, "I don't know who you are," okay, he started a friendship with this guy and he talked to him every week, sometimes a couple times a week, never knew who the guy was. The guy would just call, and he would tell you, man, he would say this to him, he'd go, my dad loved you so much. And dad would just be like, oh, well, you know, I really had a lot of love and admiration for your dad, too, not having any clue. How long did that go for?
Oh, that went on for 2 years, and he would call. And I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
I
didn't know who he was. So anyway, he calls, and, you know, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm doing great. And he never would say his name. I didn't, you know, I had no way. I still don't know his name. But we had the nicest visits. And
wasn't he going to come see you at one point?
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't, because he
didn't know. Oh, my God. But that continued for years, man.
That's so
and he
good.
Just, he never said, you know, I'm just not going to answer the phone. You know, he just, every time he called, he'd answer the phone and they'd have, you know, half hour conversations. It's amazing.
Boy,
amazing.
Adam, I want you to know something. I love you.
I love you too, Kurt.
Thank you.
You're definitely your family. You spoke at Dad's funeral, and you know, that meant the world to us because you were so close. And you know, you and Dad were like me and Barry. You know,
That's right.
Always able to rely on each other. No matter what, no matter where you were in life. And, you know, I can't thank you enough for being you. I can't thank you enough for this guy, for Barry, for being, you know, just a solid rock. Both of you solid rocks in my life.
Well, and I'm about half crazy.
Well, I know that. Barry, I still know
Barry's
that
the
if
one
I,
was
I still know that if I, you know, if I needed to, I could, I could count on you.
You bet you can.
And you know, I know that because, like I said, we are family, and all of you Johnstons are family, and you know, we our roots run together, and they run together very deep, and I'm very, you know. I can't express how much I love all of you.
Thank you.
We love you too, man.
I'm here. And your grandparents? I mean, what do you
say? Amazing people.
What do you say? The best.
Yeah, right. We were lucky. Thank you, Dad. Thank you for coming on. This has been great.
Yeah, Kurt, this has been fantastic. We love sharing stories, your stories, and they always cheer us up. They always make us laugh, and we really appreciate it just because of the joy that your life has brought to so many people.
Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh. How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot, myspreadshop.com.
That's what's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story, dot, myspreadshop.com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
Well, Dad, thank you for joining us and bringing your interesting life to the masses.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these stories that we talk about, you know, they're a part of my life. They're a part of your life. Mm. I know people have heard us talk about my dad, but, you know, I really wanted to have that on tape. And and have, you know, he's been bugging me about this for years since we started. I'm like, Dad, I'm going to bring you on, but it's going to be the right time, the right episode. Yes. And you're like, how about we just bring him on for the 300th? And I'm like, that's perfect, man. So, yeah, we had just a great time, man. A great time.
Yes, your dad, I mean, he really has a life that is that could be a comedy, you know, a situation comedy TV series or just a Jim Carrey movie.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, when your dad, when he was younger, when he was, you know, well, our age, I guess, he looked a lot like kind of like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
You can see that. Yeah, so, you know, if everybody out there can put a little mental image there that's a little bit similar to what Kurt.
We always got a kick out of Chevy Chase movies growing up, and there were so many similarities with just the things that Chevy Chase would get himself into, and I always felt like, you know, if that would be my, if they could make a movie out of my dad's life for sure. Cause it's just the antics that he gets himself. My dad is the kind of guy, he'll talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And he will, within minutes, he will know everything about somebody. I learned the art of conversation from him. He was so, he always told me that if you want to learn about somebody, you ask them about them. You don't talk about yourself. You ask them about their lives. And it's amazing what you can find out whenever someone just starts opening up. And yeah, he set the bar high. He's always been the kind of person that is just fearless. And he never let, to the point to where it's like, okay, you gotta relax here a little bit, because
that could be the numerous concussions.
Definitely. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, that happened. That started happening at a young age, man. Oh, yeah. And you know, there's so many other stories that I know that we could have talked about, but sort of the highlights there. And then, you know, I know you brought up some things, and it's just like, it's funny, because when you talk to other people and they have stories about your family or whatever, you're like, wow, I don't know if I knew that. I don't know if I heard that story, you know, because everybody's got a story about, you know, people. And
everybody's got a story about your dad for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
definitely, man. So, yeah, thanks, Dad, again. It was so fun. We had such a good time. And that's really what this show is about. We you know, we bring on family, we bring on friends, we bring on people we don't know, and we get to know them. And we get to talk, and we get to tell stories, and we get to share with one another. Sometimes we get into deep discussions. Sometimes we laugh, and sometimes it's a little heavier and heartfelt. But I just love that about what we've been able to create here, and so thankful that people tune in to listen.
Yeah, we really cannot express how much your support and you listening to the shows and every week, you know, and even if you don't listen every week, if you hit us up every once in a while, we still really appreciate it. We like your dad, and I, you know, maybe we learned this from one of the things we learned from your dad. It's like you sit down and you talk to somebody like you're already friends.
Yeah.
Because that's how your dad always has. He always, you know, he approaches the situation in a embracing manner, not in any way confrontational. And which is not to say that your dad, you know, couldn't, was a pushover or anything kind of like that.
Yeah.
By all means, we know he's not. He's been in scrapes. I mean, obviously, we heard about one.
The first
time he got arrested. So,
Just,
you know, when you approach people already with the mindset that, hey, you know, we're going to be friends, we're going to talk, and you can, you know, that's, you know, a good way of disarming people and disarming a situation and being just honest, you know. And that's one of the trademarks, I believe, of our show, is that we want to hear your story. We're, you know, we're not challenging, we're not questioning, you know, the validity. We're not trying to prove anything or disprove anything. We just want to talk with you as a human being, and we want to hear about your experiences on this planet. Or, you know, hey, if you've been off planet, cool. We want to hear that too.
Yeah, please.
But we want to hear your stories and your experiences. And so we encourage everyone, as we do every week, we encourage everyone to reach out get a hold of us. If you know, of course, if you don't want to be a guest and share your stories in person via our Skype interviews, you can always write your stories out and have and send them to us, and we'll read those on the air. Or, you know, we can schedule a time and you could sit down and chat with us virtually face to face and have share some laughs and, you know, wander off into that cosmos of conversation that we tend to do. And we love it. And we hope that you do. And we think that you would love it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are looking forward to more stories. We have some great ones coming up.
Oh, man.
I mean, God, they just keep coming. So we're excited.
Yeah, we do have some great ones coming up, including next week, which was I don't know what you would call it. Some kind of, it's not necessarily true crime, but it's a weird story involving a relationship where we had some hijinks happening live. At the time, yes. During the interview.
The first time we've ever done that, I can tell you that much. We were on the edge of our seats, man. Like, what is going to happen here? Do we need to call the cops or something?
Yeah, so you'll have to join us next week for that one. But in the meantime, do like, follow, subscribe to our episodes. You know, send us an email or a message or how you doing, guys. On our, you know, socials, you know, Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, whatever it is. You know, of course, you can just shoot us a direct email at wywspod@gmail.com. We have that phone line. You can call and you can leave us a message. The hotline is 513-909-9821. And you can leave a message up to 3 minutes, and you can leave as many messages as you like. But, of course, if you leave several messages, you might as well just come on and be on the show with us. I mean, that's cool. We'd like that very much at all. You know, I mean, so we're cool guys. We're cool guys. We like to have fun. You know, we like to sit down and chill and relax. We're just like, oh, hey, how you doing? And, you know, and ha-ha, it's funny. And, oh, wow, that's amazing. That scares me. That's, you know, that's what it's like. That's what we do. That's
exactly,
our thing.
Exactly.
So, thank you, Weirdsville, for 300 episodes plus the a few bonus ones there. And so many people that we've met and such a incredible time that we've had. And we've hoped that you've had an incredible time, too. And we love you guys. And we, you know, spread that love, spread the love for the podcast and spread the love. Go hug your pets. You know, tell your mom we said hi, but not in a creepy way. You know, and all that stuff. We really appreciate you guys. We love you guys, and we thank you for listening and supporting us for 300 episodes. I know I'm getting wordy here. I'm trying to
amazing
hold back the tears, and we love you, and we'll see you next week, same place, same time, or you know, whenever you and wherever you listen. Until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.